early expression. Been seeing a victory in our brother Mike Vogel. I mean, he was struggling for a long, long time, barely able to move. And God has done a great work. He's really wrought a turnaround in our brother. And as I said, when you get blessed that much, you got to share it. And he was very zealous and asked me Sunday when he could share. And I said, well, we certainly do want to hear that at some point. And it really resounded in my heart Monday, have Mike share. And I said, okay, we'll have Mike share. And so, Mike, why don't you come up and share? Let's thank God for Mike.
Okay, I don't know if I need this, but I'll use it. I'm gonna jump back a whole bunch of years real fast, just to, so everybody has the idea and the picture of how stupid I was. I used to ride bulls when I was a kid. I broke a bunch of bones doing that. Then I was in a helicopter crash. And that broke some more. And then I fell off a wing of a C-130. That broke some more. And then I fell off a house a couple times that didn't do any more good. And then I started getting old. And all those things compiled. All those early breaks joined up with the ones that came after, and until I was just a crippled wreck. My first healing came when I had a slap in the back of the head by God that said, okay, you're raised in a church, you're coming back to the church. That was my first healing. That happened when I was 29 years old. I hadn't gone too far off, but any off is off, is how I look at it, so. Jeannie, we decided to have two more kids after our second daughter was 18. And Jeannie ended up being eclamptic. She seized, she quit breathing. We had to go to ER. That was my second healing, and that was from myself. I was a control freak, big time. Everything that I was involved in had to be under my control. God showed me in that one split second that I couldn't control anything. That was an important healing for me because I couldn't mature spiritually until I could learn to give up control of my life. That was, Mariah's 19? That was 19 years ago. Just recently, the last 5 years, I've seen it was a huge, I don't know what word we would use to express it, but it was just a steady decline in my health and how I felt. I had been given a lot of meds to handle pain, and in the process of this, they stopped working. You know, you get used to them, and they give you more, and you get used to those. And that's the road I was on. And when we first started coming here, I could walk in on my own. I had a cane and helped me get my balance. But I had to have my own chair that reclined, if you remember that. I couldn't sit in those chairs for more than 15, 20 minutes unless I was laying back. Then it ended up I had to get back in a wheelchair that I had worked my way out of 8 or 10 years earlier. And then that became even hard to get around in that. And I had gone to the point where I was sitting at home in the dark contemplating death. Death was the only way out as I saw it. I'm in pain 24/7. Every day of the year, day in and day out. And still praying for healing. People, everyone I know praying for me to be healed. for 10 years or more, 15 years, lose track of time when you're having fun. And I knew it was possible. I just didn't know what God was waiting on. And I think I went to one of the men's group and meetings right before all this last stuff happened. And I remember confessing that I was in a dark place, that I just wanted my life to end. It wasn't having fun anymore, and I really didn't see that I was being used by God, sitting in my living room in the dark, with the lights off and the blinds closed. And I prayed out to God one night, either kill me or heal me, because I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done being here. Well, he did both. I had reconstructive shoulder surgery on October 20th. On October 21st, Jeannie took me to ER because I'd stopped peeing, I'd stopped eating and drinking, and I was talking gibberish. The interns at the hospital thought I was entertaining. I don't know what I was saying, but ended up, I got into their ICU in Columbia, and my heart stopped. And they had to restart that. And then my kidneys shut down, so I had to have dialysis, I think twice. And I spent a week in ICU, not even conscious of anything. But when I opened my eyes, the first sensation that I had was no pain in my back. I've been laying in a hospital bed for a week, and I have the best mattress money can buy, and I still wasn't able to sleep more than 2 hours. And here I'm laying in a hospital bed for a week, and I don't feel any pain in my leg or my back or my hands, my arthritis. But by the time we got out of the hospital, they had taken me off of 8 of my meds. 3 days later, I was off of 2 or 3 more. I have 5 now counting insulin, and 3 of those I'm getting rid of on the 19th, whether the doctor wants me to or not. They're out of there. You know, it's a weird thing to be suddenly healed like that, because for 20 years, all you know is pain. And we're cognizant of that. And spiritually the same way. If we're not right with God, we're in pain, and we know we are. And we know, some of us know how to get out of that, and some of us don't. And that's our job, you know. But in the course of the time since that happened, God has quickened my spirit to a lot of things. I got some notes here. The first of which is God's grace. You know, if I had an opportunity, well, I have had an opportunity, but for the rest of my life, I have an opportunity to share what God has done in this particular instance. And it's given me an avenue because of the hundreds of people who know me because, they know me as the cripple, or, you know, the guy with a lousy body. But they can't say that anymore. Praise God. It's, wow, you're up and walking around. Yeah, I am. I feel great. But what about the RSD? Well, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. It must be gone. Well, what about this? What about the arthritis? Don't know. That doesn't hurt me anymore. To be quickened physically and then be quickened spiritually at the same time is even more harder to understand, because with this spiritual quickening, the things that I took for granted, having a Bible to read, is it just blows my mind. I have this Word of God right here in front of me that's mine. I can open it anytime I want. I can read it. God can give me information through this that we didn't have before. You know, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 119, I think it's 92 or 93, it's talking about that I've memorized the precepts, you know, the laws that God had given them to guide them, to lead them, and to keep them, you know, spiritually right. And I won't leave them. I won't forget them. And I'm like, okay, well, they had their laws, but we have the Word of God, especially the New Testament, which has been, you know, spoken by the prophets and by the teachers of the old that lived firsthand with Jesus, who were there when he was feeding the 5,000, and were, you know, and we have a special knowledge that Paul was given that you don't have to have a theology degree to understand. Some of that stuff can get kind of deep, but it's grace, that God's grace. It's you know, grace, you know, defined as God's unmerited favor, right? But what that really is saying is that God has given us something that we don't deserve to have, right? And I know a lot of people confuse grace and mercy, mercy and grace, but mercy is the same idea, in that it's God's love that gives it to us, but mercy being that he doesn't give us the thing that we do deserve, which is a punishment. And so I'm studying this stuff, and my eyes are open to not just the healing. That's actually kind of a second thing, because I see people hurting more than I ever did before. We were in Columbia, and I saw this lady walking with this little girl, and I mean, just the Spirit just moved on me and kind of almost told me why this person is acting the way they were, what was going on. Not in detail, but just enough to know that this person is hurting spiritually, mentally, maybe. I didn't see any physical, but, you know, it was there. And gave me the boldness to stop and talk to him. And, oh, I love going to the hospital now, to the doctor, because they see me, and they've got my chart, you know, literally that thick. And they say, why are you here? Well, I don't know. You told me to come back. And be able to, that gives me an opportunity right there to tell this story, to witness to them how I was sick and ready to die. And, you know, and death is an easy thing. I mean, I slipped off without even knowing it, and it was great. I mean, I didn't have no second coming vision or nothing, but I didn't hurt. And then when I did come together and all my parts were working right, it allowed me to see the healing in the rest of me as well. I didn't have to look at, oh, this is hurting, that's hurting, you know, whatever. Oh, I can't walk up those stairs. We'll have to drive around the block. Or, oh, I have to wait 15 minutes for a handicapped parking spot. Now we park at the end of the block and we walk to the store. And it's great to be able to walk again. It's actually a great blessing to be able to walk. And unless you can't, you don't realize that. So when you're walking out to your car, bless God, you're walking to your car. That's how I feel, just so exuberated. I ran up the stairs today at the hospital. We were running late, and we parked on the second floor of the parking garage. And Jeannie pushed the elevator button because I'm always taking the elevator. And I'm like, no, let's take the stairs. And we ran up the two flights of stairs. And as, now she's going, okay, slow down, you know, I don't want you to fall. And I'm like, hush. It's like protective mother, you know, trying to take care of me because I'm always falling. I'm always hurting something, but not anymore. We also have the ability to search within. And one of the things that Jeff said when he was praying, one of the things that, and this is because of some other healing that took place decades ago, but one of the things that has always touched me is when Jesus said, good job, you know, my faithful servant, my good and faithful servant. It's like when I was growing up, that's all I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear good job. You did a good job or whatever. I didn't have that childhood. But now that I'm older, and now I get, especially now, since everything happened, since my healing, it was try to keep me quiet. Any mentioning of anything, actually don't even take that. So, sometimes I just start talking, and either you listen or you walk away, and that's fine with me too. It's been a joy to be able to have the boldness to go and speak God's grace and God's healing and God's love and God's forgiveness to myself, as always, because I always need reminding, but to everybody I come across, that especially people I don't know. You know, it's like you don't know. One of the things, I've been reading this book, is called The Unseen Things. And it's kind of like having 20/20 vision, hindsight, where, like, I'll just give you a quick example. My family and I, before Mariah, were driving back from New York from a visit, family visit, Jeannie's family, and we'd been on the road all of 20 minutes, and my oldest daughter, Christina, had to pee. I'm like, good, because I'm still a control freak at this point. You know, we just got in the car. I told you to go before, you know, whole 9 yards. We got off at a McDonald's. We were there less than 2 minutes. Jumped back on the highway. Hadn't even got up to speed yet, and we're the first ones at a big major pileup. Semi hit a car, spun it around 360, ejected everything and everyone all over the highway. When I look back and see things like that and see 2 minutes off the highway, I could have been right in the middle of that. That's what I think of unseen things. They're all around us all the time. Everything we do, everyone we convey with, there are unseen things going on in their lives or our lives that we don't know about, that the Spirit can quicken us for, to help us to intercede in their behalf. And also to be able to help ourselves see those unseen things that have happened in our lives that help us to get to where God wants us to be. I often thought, why to God? You know, why am I like this? Okay, I did some stuff that was pretty stupid, but some of the stuff wasn't my fault. But I'm here. I've been prayed for a bazillion times. How come you haven't answered that prayer? And of course, I know the Bible, where multiple times it talks about the deliverance of prayer, how there are battles taking place between the heavenly and the heavenlies that keep that prayer. Daniel and David and others. But it never quite answered my question, and that was, you know, why haven't I been? Then I got to thinking, well, okay, well, because I'm not supposed to be. I got to think, well, and I professed it. I'm content to be here because this is where I am now, and this must be where God needs me to be. Well, it wasn't. This is where God wanted me to be bold and to have a message to carry to everyone that healing is still active today. And not just, you know, I had shoulder surgery. It still hurts. But I did this. I mean, I let a surgeon cut it open. That's why it hurts. But many times it's out of our control. But God can still heal it. And I have relatives that I talk to on the phone that don't believe the same way I believe. Oh, healing was for the Old Testament. Jesus was the only one who could heal. I'm like, okay, read the rest of the Old Testament. Read what Jesus and his disciples did and other people, and you know, they were all healed. And so that's my message for today, because I didn't believe that rhetoric that I heard. I knew that healing was still for today. I just never experienced it personally. And so when I did in this profound method or amount or way or whatever, it gave me a personal knowledge of it that far exceeded anything I could ever understand. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around grace sometimes. I mean, you know, God designed our brains, some better than others, but they're all designed by God. But still, even with that, above and beyond animals, how do you grab grace? And the only way I know is to not try, to just accept it. It's a gift. It's God's undeserved gift to everyone. And it's just like any other gift. I can pull out my car keys and say, I'm going to give you my truck. It wouldn't happen, but I could say that. And unless you took it, it wouldn't, you know, the gift hasn't exchanged. And the same thing is applicable. You know, God can offer that gift, but if you don't take it, it's still there waiting to be accepted. And I just thank God for where I am today, the things that I've been able to do. I lost 42 pounds. I don't know where from, because there's still a lot there, but it's just, I guess the most important thing that I want to say is that God's grace is sufficient for any situation. You just have to be patient and wait on God. And that God is a healer today. That the Holy Spirit can quicken us to see the things that we've got our eyes off of. The things that are of the world that we walk in every day. You know, it seems like we go out and we have one foot in the earth and one foot in the grave as we go out among people. And what we have is you either try to put blinders on or you try to ignore what's out there. But eventually, if you see it enough times, you become blind to some things. You don't realize that you've incorporated something into your life that was from the world. You don't realize it until you're given the ability to see all the things that you're looking at. You know, I wasn't afraid of dying. I didn't want to die because I was concerned about my family. How will my wife and daughters and stuff get along, you know, and financially and all that? That was my only concern. And then I realized that's not my concern at all. I can't do anything about that. I can work. I can do what I can do while I'm here. But if I'm gone, I'm gone. And God, they have to rely on God for what they need. It makes it easier to die than it is to live, because living's harder. You have to have, you have these relationships that are like sandpaper on sandpaper, and you've got to deal with them. But to pray that God quickens your heart to the things that you should be seeing and the things that are not, would be an awesome gift to get. To it changes your whole outlook, because you're more compassionate, you're more caring. You know, I lost a lot of control over my emotions too this last month or so. I told Jeannie I loved her the other day, and I started crying. And so why are you crying? I said, I don't know, because I realized what it meant when I told you I loved you. And it's like that for a lot of things. You say something so many times, it just becomes, you know, just another thing you say. How you doing? And you don't even wait for an answer. You're walking down the street, or, you know, whatever it is. But when you realize what you have, what gifts God's given you, other than your health and your salvation, these other gifts are so precious. And Mariah's got a boyfriend now. We can't go down that road. I mean, that's, for me, that's a big deal. I'm kind of jealous. He's getting more time than I am on Skype. But those things were grace, and were where our vision is for Christ are the things that are important. I guess that's in a nutshell. Hallelujah. Yeah, God's healed me. And not just, it's difficult to say, God heal me, when I want to say, God let me run again, and jump, and climb, and smile, and have a sense of humor, and be able to cook. We had a lot of guests lately, and I've been able to stand there and cook, you know, and it hadn't hurt afterwards. That's the great thing. It's, oh, I stood and cooked for an hour and a half. Wow, it's great. It's all those blessings. So that's what I got.
Oh, that's spectacular. And now, just to be clear, you were pronounced dead, right?
Well, it was my heart stopped.
Okay, and they brought you back.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was on October 21st?
That's what I think.
Okay. All right.
Either in you or in ICU, they don't know.
Yeah, because I remember the Sunday after it happened, because I went to the hospital, and Janine told me, she didn't even know.
That's right.
And she goes, you know that he was dead? I said, what?
Yeah.
So, well, you could have had a funeral.
He answered both prayers. He killed me and he healed me.
Yeah, right. Okay, just to make it clear.
Yeah,
wow, okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you, brother. That was spectacular. And a lot of good things there. One thing that he made clear and was very encouraging to me is that the healing that we first look at and reflect upon, the physical healing, he said, is a secondary matter. You know, it's like even Lazarus, he was raised, but he still died. You know, these things, these bodies and this whole world's in decay. But when God uses that, when he blesses us in the natural, it's to be a stepping stone for the spiritual. And that's what I'm hearing, is that a man who is a Christian, who's a son, is almost like being born again. And he's now seeing the things of the kingdom, and he's prioritizing the eternal, and so praise God. So it's a double blessing. We're encouraged with the faith to believe in the natural. Of God, nothing's impossible. And but why? You know, some people, they wonder, well, why don't we see the healings? that, like, for instance, we hear from the missionary report in Africa or some third world typically, why don't we see those type of healings? And I wonder if there's two things I want to say on it. First of all, if we don't necessarily see those healings as much, because it would be like unto what James says, where James, to use an analogy, a biblical analogy, where James says, you pray that you might heap it according to your lust. And so why would God answer that to begin with? In other words, if you were healed, would it just enable you to be healthy, to go on ignoring God and busying yourself in things that are only going to take you away from the Lord? You got stronger, you got more confident, but it didn't propel you in the direction of God. And so why would God allow that? And I hate to make big, broad statements and put any discouragement out there. I want you to believe always for the best and healing and such. But perhaps the American would take it in more of a consumer thing, and it wouldn't actually push him towards the kingdom. It wouldn't provoke him towards God and love and good works. And so that's one thought. And the other thought is, even the question should be examined, why don't we see the miracles, or why don't we see the healings? And then all along, things are happening, like people are getting saved, relationships are being restored, people's guilt, their shame, God's washing of the water of the word, and God would say, wow, there's healing going on all the time. You're just looking at one little aspect, the physical healing. And so that's some thoughts as you were sharing. And we want to have some time to discuss and talk, and maybe you might have a question as well for Mike, and Mike would be glad to answer. He can speak pretty loud, so he'll be glad to answer. But any thoughts or questions that you might have about some of these things that we're talking about tonight? Great stuff.
I have a question. Brother Mike, he hit that dead on about when he's talking about Daniel and the Prince of Persia being resisted in our prayers. But as New Testament saints, I know that we can hinder our own prayers when we don't treat people right. But I've always looked at as this side of the cross, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's like a nuke. There ain't no demon in hell gonna stand in the way. Is that?
Yeah, there does seem to be a change as you move across from the Old Testament, where you had barriers in the flesh, you had to go through priests and sacrifices and demonic strongholds as well. In the New Testament, there seems to be my understanding that you enter the throne room boldly, you speak it, and there's no more of this interference save what you yourself bring, like you said. So that's my understanding now. But I appreciate the words from the Old Testament, the Prince of Persia, because it gives us insight into what is going on in the heavenlies and what the unsaved are dealing with. They're dealing more with that resistance than we are. We resist the devil and he flees, but they don't even, like Mike was saying, they don't even know what's going on. They're blind to the whole situation, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot even see the things of the kingdom. Any thoughts or comments? All right. That was just powerful. Thank you for sharing, and continue to share, and may it also provoke us to love and good works, not to be so busy that as we're running along doing our errands to not see, like what you said, you got your eyes open and you're seeing that lady and you're discerning some things and you're looking for an opportunity to speak for the hope that lies within. And so may we not seek to just do things right, get our daily checklist done, and fail to do the right things. There's a difference between that. All right, well, let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word of encouragement, the word of faith that has built us up. And as my brother's been faithful, Lord, freely he's received, freely he's given. I pray for even more, God, even more grace to go in his direction so that he can continue to serve and to minister and just let that life cycle continue. And all the years, all the prayers of Jeannie and the daughters and the sphere of influence that he's had, Lord, just ask God that that whole group will be blessed and help us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Forgive us of our short-sightedness. Forgive us for complaining and moaning and groaning and not realizing that there's people that are struggling tenfold more than we are and that we can prevail, Lord. By your power, we can do all things, O God. So help us to receive both the encouragement and the conviction which comes from such a powerful testimony. Praise you, Lord. I pray you keep your people. I pray for your favor. I pray for protection, provision, and peace always, and give them a good night's rest. And if you give us a tomorrow, Lord, may this word continue to stimulate us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a great night.